Salama, thank you, and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Today, we meet a couple of the women of distinction who will be honored by AWARE at the 28th Annual Women of Distinction Gala being held on Saturday, March 7th at Centennial Hall. We'll speak to some of the local high school contestants in this year's Poetry Out Loud statewide competition event happening Monday, March 9th. And we'll have some First Friday previews with both the Juno Douglas City Museum and the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. And you can also catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Keishi Bessie Cooley. And the word this week is Janwu.
Janwu.
That means mountain goat. And here is a sentence. When boating on the Taku River, people always see mountain goats on the mountains. Let's hear it again.
Janwu.
Mountain goat. Gunnish cheese to Hune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Keishi Bessie Cooley is Kokhetan and a child of a Yenyedi man. She is from Daisleen, Teslin, and grew up spending time in Teslin and around Teslin Lake. She earned a master's degree in Indigenous Languages and Linguistics from Simon Fraser University and interviewed many speakers for the Hashagun Language Series.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
You are listening to community-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm Boston Christopher. AWARE's 28th Annual Women of Distinction Gala will be held on Saturday, March 7th at Centennial Hall. This year's honorees are Maria Gladyshevsky, Sekuni Fran Houston, Christina Love, and Dr. Alice Taff. The honorees were nominated by community members and selected by the AWARE's Board of Directors. And I am pleased to welcome three of the honorees to the studio now. First, we have Sekuni Fran Houston. Gunchi Shwasiati Fran, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Gunchi. And then we have Maria G, as she... I remember your campaign very well.
Thank you, excellent, that's excellent.
What was your slogan?
I don't remember. If you don't have to spell it, but you should vote for something like that.
It was like, vote for me, Maria G, or something like that. Exactly. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But Gunath Cheesh for being here, Wasi.
Thank you.
And then we also have Dr. Alice Taff. Gunath Cheesh, Wasi. How are you today, Alice?
Just fine. Thanks, Boston.
Excellent. And then we also have from AWARE, we have Christina Michelle, who is the communications director. And also, you may be a familiar voice to many on KTO because you host Culture Rich Conversations.
Yes. Thanks for having me, Boston.
Well, good. Thanks for being here. Okay. So let's start first with you, Christina. Can you just let us know what is, it's 28 years of this, it's a fundraiser for AWARE, but just remind us quickly what AWARE does and why we have the Women of Distinction Award every year.
Of course. So AWARE serves all survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault, and we do that in a multitude of ways. We have our emergency shelter 24/7, 365, and we have permanent and transitional housing. We offer legal services. We have a batterers intervention program. We have healthy relationship classes. So there's a lot that we do. And as you can imagine, it takes the support of our community. It takes a lot of funding to do the work that we do. In addition to that, we want to honor the women of our community that also do an incredible amount of work. And so Women of Distinction started 28 years ago, giving a voice and a platform. I mean, women do so much already that goes unrecognized. But with Women of Distinction, the community gets an opportunity to see, you know, these women celebrated. And also it gives an opportunity for folks to know more about what we do and to support with donations.
That's really cool. And I know that the gala, which is happening again on Saturday night at Centennial Hall, you can go to awareak.org and find out information and get tickets and stuff. But there's going to be a catered dinner. There's a no-host bar. There's some live auctions. There's all that good stuff that would normally go on with a fundraiser. But there's also a photo booth. And then what's also cool is that each of the women who are honored with this distinction are going to give a speech, which is, did hopefully you know that.
Oh, no.
So that's really fun. But let's start over here with you, Fran. Fran, you, I have just a very short piece of information about, like, what they give you, basically a log line of why you all were nominated. But I want to hear a little bit more about it. So you're listed as Occoquan Tribal Spokesperson as part of your honoring for this distinction.
Yes.
And you are well known in the community. Can you just tell us a little bit about this honor and what you're going to be speaking about on Saturday?
I have no clue. No, I've been fighting back and forth as to what I'm going to say, but I'm sure it'll pop as soon as I get up there on stage. But when I speak to the audience on anything, it comes from the heart.
Yeah.
When I did receive the phone call, I'm going to do a little bit of humor here, but there was only one word that came out of my mouth, and that was, whoa. I didn't know that threw me off, but, you know, it's an honor, and I'm going to be with, you know, three other women that are part of the selection of being honored as Women of Distinction. So it is an honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I've heard you speak before, and it's always it's just captivating when you speak, and you do speak from the heart, and that is so fantastic. Can you tell me a little bit about your history and how why you wanted to be a tribal spokesperson and how you got to that position?
Well, let's put it this way. My grandmother, Bessie Fasaya, she lived to be 97, and she was our matriarch of the Occoquan. And when she had stepped down, like I said, it was just a few years before she turned 97, then my mother took over. And so my mother participated in a lot of events, and I was at her side in many meetings, and it was her sneaky way of, I didn't know I was in training, but, you know, here I am. And my mother did step down. Bless her heart, she made it to 97.
Wow.
But she did assign me back in 2017. So here I am as an Occoquan tribal spokesperson. And she told me, it's not going to be easy, but do the best you can. And that's what I'm doing. And a lot of activities with being with kids in schools, bless their hearts. I'm so proud of them because they're learning the language. To most of the kids, I'm grandma or I'm auntie. And I enjoy that. And there's a lot of other things that's going on, and it's nonstop. But you know what? It keeps me young.
Yeah, absolutely.
It keeps me going.
You said before we were getting on air here that you're doing double duty this week. You've got this AWARE Distinction honor that's happening on Saturday. And what else are you doing this week?
Right now, over at Jack, there is mining training. And part of this is, being with, let me back up a little bit, my grandmother and my mother and myself, I've been with them off and on. This is protection for Berners Bay. Right now there's so much going on there that will be going on there. And the only concern that we have is we need to protect it. No, in other words, in hopes that there's no development, because that is sacred to us. So the list goes on, but I won't really go into it. But that's what I'm participating in, and have a number of people that aren't in agreement with what's going on there too. So in hopes that could make a difference. Because I do recall my grandmother doing all this and then being with my mother many times, twice got turned down on the road. But this time it's development. So this is what I'm doing. Thank you.
Sheesh. It's really an honor to have you here. Thank you so much. And I can't wait for people to hear your words on Saturday. That'll be fantastic.
Thank you.
Maria Gladyshevsky. So I have here... they list you public servant and lifelong learner. I like that. I like that. As a way of thinking about oneself. You were on the assembly for many years.
I was. I was on the assembly for 9. I was elected 3 times, so 3 3-year terms. I was on the planning commission for 11 years. As I filled out someone's term that wasn't expired, and then I could serve 3 full ones. So I went to a lot of meetings over 20 years.
I'm just curious about, like, what is that assembly experience like?
Well, it's really complicated. And people run for the assembly and with a lot of idealism, want to help their community. That certainly was me. And when you get there, you find out it's complicated, and you spend many, many hours on things. And it's usually a choice between – it's often a choice between a little bit bad or more bad. Right? It's usually not a choice between super fantastic and bad, because then, of course, that would be easy. And then everybody would pick super fantastic.
And I think one thing that I didn't know until a few years ago is that there's not really much of a salary involved in being an assembly.
No.
It's really a community service. You get like, what, $400 or something like that, or whatever it is?
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Very small.
It's not supposed to cost you money to be on the assembly, but you don't really make any money. I mean, you could some people – you actually could get health insurance if you wanted. So that's a benefit for people who don't have
– Yeah.
Nobody does it for the money.
Right. You do it to help your community, right?
Yeah. And, when I was on the assembly, I never – I didn't frequent social media to read all the comments. But since I've been off, I've read many. And people are not nice. People are – kind of not very nice. Just here to say, to defend the assembly. Nobody's making money or making backroom deals or
You would want to be there now with the things that they have to do budget-wise coming up. Like, that's going to be a pretty hard decision. It's funny because they just did this citywide survey thing, and they asked people about what they would choose to cut. And people, there's some comments that are like, I didn't realize. This is hard.
Yeah.
Like, when I only have 3 or 4 things to choose from, and then you have to start making the value decision of what is most important to the community. It's a tough role. And I'm glad that, a decade, you almost did it for a decade, which is pretty wild.
I mean, I felt privileged, frankly, to do it. I was proud of all of the people on the assembly, whether I agreed with them or not. Everybody to a single person was trying to do the best they could. And, weighing, you get 100 emails and 51 of them say one thing and 49 of them say another, and you have to pick one. Interesting, when I first got on the planning commission, one of the reasons I decided to do it, I thought it would help me with my decision making, because I have one of the people that lifelong learner that I am, I could see both sides. And that's also true, and also that. But in the end, you have to say yes or no. And you can't be like, no, but I also like this or whatever. So you just got to decide and move on. So that was an interesting, that was a thing that I was needed to learn back then.
Well, Gunung Chiefs, thank you for your service. So your speech on Saturday, do you have an idea of what you might be talking about?
Well, I'm working on it.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that Fran's not done with hers either.
Yeah. I don't know about Alice, but
I'm they asked for inspiration.
Okay.
So I'm trying to make that happen. It's things are a little dark around now in the world these days. I'm going to do my best to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uplift.
Christina, is there a theme or anything to the gala?
The theme this year is the butterfly effect.
The butterfly effect. Ah,
yes.
Interesting.
So we really want to highlight how one small thing can have a huge impact. So kind of like that ripple. And we see that reflected in the honorees this year. And so we really want to bring that home.
That's really cool. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. We're talking with this year's Women of Distinction honorees, three of them. We're now going to move to Dr. Alice Taff. Gunung Chiefs, for being here. How are you, Alice?
I'm fine. Thanks.
Okay. So I know you, it says, linguist for social justice. I know you're also a professor out at the university, and you have your background is so varied and wonderful. Tell us a little bit about this linguist for social justice. Let me wrap my mind around that.
Well, I'll be Saturday night speaking off the cuff, explain what a linguist is, what linguistics does, the scientific study of language, and then what inspires me to do the work that I do, which has been largely to document people having conversations in their ancestral Alaskan languages.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then making those collections of recordings available to people so they can learn from them how to talk
to
each other. So working for the continuity of the languages so they continue and in the face of the social injustice that has caused the languages and cultures to tremble and sit down and sit back, come back forward.
It's interesting, too, because as Fran mentioned, you know, it's really interesting to see the younger generations sort of picking up their language again and owning it and taking it and taking it, you know, back, really. And so I'm just curious, how did you get into linguistics to begin with? How did that become the thing that you were interested in?
My teacher training course, I had a single elective. And I took a sociolinguistics class, and I got sucked into the black hole of linguistics. So you need to be careful if you stand on the edge of that and start wondering about language and how it works and how do people know what to say? How does it work? And then you get sucked down in there. It's just awful.
That's it becomes a lifelong learning situation. that's so interesting to me. So I know I just want to mention quickly, too, that the last honoree is Christina Love, who's also familiar to Juno Afternoon audiences, who's hosted this show. We'll be doing some hosting as well for some upcoming shows on sexual assault awareness. Christina Love is listed as a thought leader, a systems architect, indigenous storyteller, and survivor. I just wanted to give her a shout out since she couldn't be here today. I want to end and go back over to Fran and maybe ask each of you if there's one. It's hard to pick one. I understand it's hard to pick one. But if there's one piece of wisdom that you could impart to those listening, what might it be, Fran?
I wish you didn't start with me at first. The one thing that I would say is that I hope I'm answering the question right, is that what is happening now and what is going on with the community, it's opening up doors. And the reason why I say that is because the children are learning the language. Mm. They're learning how to skin a hide. They're learning how to what to look for in teas. And none of that was ever offered when I was a child. Mm. And when you have grandsons, great-grandsons, they don't have an ounce of Tlingit blood in them. They talk to me. They come home from school, and they talk to me, and I said, what did you just say? Oh, come on, Grandma, you can understand. I said, no, I don't. How come? So I tell them. Mm. I said, it wasn't allowed. Mm. So they tell me what they said. And I said, oh, I love you too. So, and for them to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. Mm. So this is what's very exciting, mm. because it missed, let's put my mother's generation, they were punished. Mm. My generation, it wasn't allowed. Mm. And with my children, I couldn't teach them because of the fact that how can I teach them when I don't know how to speak it mm. or understand it? But there's hope, mm. great hope for the great-great-grandkids. So that's the blessing right there. And for the parents that are out there and they're helping these children speak the language, there is hope that they can bring this back alive. We come so close to losing it. Mm. Gunachish.
Gunachish. I love that. Maria, I know I'm putting you all on the spot, but one thing that you might... send off as a piece of wisdom from your lifelong learning.
Lifelong learning. So just thinking about what I might say, you try to think of, do you have any philosophy or anything to say? And I just don't have a big wisdom to impart other than say yes. If someone asks you to do something, if you have an opportunity to do something, say yes, unless it's, you know, you're going to die. Don't do that. But you know, there's so many things that I've done just because someone gave me the opportunity. And running for the assembly, being on the planning commission, all those things. Someone said, you should be on the planning commission. I said, I don't even know what that is. Mm. But I'm like, okay, I can do that. So that's what I'd say. Say yes, and good things just come, especially from a community like this.
Awesome. And Dr. Alice, any last words of wisdom?
I would say find someone who doesn't look like you and listen. Mm. Hear what they're saying.
Sheesh, that's amazing. This is the 2026 AWARES Women of Distinction. It's Maria Gladyshevsky, Say Cooney, Fran Houston, Christina Love, and Dr. Alice Taft. They'll be honored this Saturday night at Centennial Hall. You can go to awareak.org for information and tickets. I really appreciate getting to have this conversation with you today. Sheesh, for being here.
Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon from KTOO. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Kate Ross joins me now from the Juno Douglas City Museum for the exciting opening of the thing we've been talking about for the last few months that you've been on, the old 12 by 12. With the theme monochrome, this poster you all have is so cool. It's on the stream for anybody who wants to see. It's very cool. So tell me about 12 by 12 by 12. And it's opening this Friday.
Yeah. So the 12 by 12 is our annual community art exhibit. This is the 22nd annual.
What?
Which is pretty amazing. Yeah. And so this year's theme is monochrome in color.
Monochrome.
We teased it. We've been talking about it. And I'm so excited that it's finally here. So what I can share now is that our curator, who is responsible for hanging the whole thing, right? She was very, very hopeful that we would get a whole spectrum of the rainbow. But we didn't want to put that out there because we didn't want people to feel constrained or, you know, like they had to do one color or another color. But I am thrilled to say that we have the entire color gradient.
You did it.
We have an entire rainbow spectrum.
You tricked us.
We did. Yeah, we got you. It's beautiful. The show is hung right now. It is just incredible to walk around the room and see it go through all these different colors. We have so many different mediums represented. We've got a couple 3D pieces. It's pretty amazing. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous exhibit.
That is really cool. And it is happening this Friday. It opens and it's going to run until April 18th. So you have about 6 weeks or so to see it. The opening reception is this Friday from 4:30 to 7 p.m. And I'm imagining there's going to be a lot of people there because there's a lot of pieces in the exhibit.
There's a lot of pieces. There are 63 pieces.
Wow.
63.
So that's 63 plus all the people they bring. You're going to be packed on
Friday. We're going to be packed. Yeah.
So get yourself out there for the 12 by 12. But not only is 12 by 12 monochrome opening, there's a whole other show that's opening, your longer exhibit that's going to be up for a few months. Tell me a little bit about that. I love this one, by the way.
I am extremely excited about this one. It's going to be up through the whole summer in our smaller, the community room gallery. But it's opening on Friday. It is called Slow Beauty, and it's featuring six artworks from our collection, from our permanent collection at the museum. We don't always get a chance to bring out those permanent collection pieces. And it's ranging from Alaskan master Sidney Lawrence. So if anyone knows Sidney Lawrence, it's pretty cool that we have one of those on display. And we have some contemporary local Juno artists as well. So it's just an incredible, incredible exhibit. And the whole idea behind it is slow looking and the idea of sitting with a piece of art and really looking at it and not trying to analyze or, you know, really, really dig into like the technical details, but just being with that piece of art, seeing what you notice, what details jump out, how it makes you feel. And so this exhibit, that's why it's called Slow Beauty. We're inviting people to come in anytime, stay for as long as you want. We have a bench and some chairs in there. And especially if you feel like you need maybe a little bit of a break or a calm, quiet moment these days, it's a really, really nice, calm, and just beautiful, beautiful space to have that reflection on art.
And I love that the idea comes from this slow-looking or the slow art day movement, that kind of thing. That's really cool. And the idea that maybe when you go, like you put your phone off, you turn it off.
Exactly.
And to just be present and in the moment, because so often during the day we're not able to do that. We're so busy and things are overwhelming us, or we're surfing on our phone, even while we're standing in line. You know, at the bank or whatever, you just get on your phone. You're always wanting stimulus. But instead, maybe take a moment, breathe, stay in the moment, and be with a piece of art.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was partially inspired also by this book, this memoir by Patrick Bringley, who quit his kind of high-stress job and began a job as a guard at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Mm. And so his memoir is called All the Beauty in the World. And we will actually be giving away free copies of that to go along with the exhibit. So we're kind of doing like a silent book club to go with the exhibit. And so his memoir just talks a lot about that kind of slow-looking thing, right? As because he spent so many long, long hours with all of this art at the Met.
I love that. That's really cool. So those two exhibits are opening this Friday, and you can go down to First Friday, 4:30 to 7. Is admission still free right now because they're technically still winter?
It is. It's technically still free. It'll be free all the way until the beginning of May.
May, okay. Mm-hmm. That's when it happens. All right. And speaking of May, I know you have some grant applications that are due soon?
We do. So the first application deadline is the Juno History Grant. That is actually due April 3rd. So
oh, that's
a little less
quicker
than a month. Yeah, that's coming up pretty quick. But if you're any kind of an artist or a researcher or you have any kind of a project in mind to do with our local history here, check out the parameters for that grant because there's a lot of cool things you can do with that. And then in May 1st is the Marie Darlin Prize application deadline. And so that is it is a prize. It's not even a grant, that one, for $5,000 to a local Juno person who has made a difference in the community. And
all
more details about that are online as well. This year, 2025, I guess I should say, that just ended, where we're honoring Mr. Shaw, the strings teacher, violin teacher.
Oh,
in
yeah,
town.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So we, and past recipients have included Ernestine Hayes and Maureen Longworth, and last year was Scott Burton.
Mm.
So that gives you an idea of the kind of range of different types of things it could be.
I see. Okay, that's very cool. Well, everything available at juno.org/museum, everything coming up, all the information on these shows, 12 by 12 by 12, and also the other exhibit, which is called Slow Beauty Art Exhibition, which will run through October, which is really cool. So you get a chance to see that.
Yeah, but definitely recommend seeing that in the spring before, you know, summer craziness.
Yeah, before all the people come in. And when it's still free, you can get to the museum anytime
exactly.
for free.
Because mm-hmm.
your hours right now are Tuesday through Saturday, right?
Tuesday through Saturday, 10 to 4. We're open a little later on First Friday.
I love that. Kate Ross from the Juno Douglas City Museum. Gunnish for being here. I really appreciate
cheese.
It. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Next up, we'll talk with the ladies, the students from the Poetry Out Loud competition coming this Monday.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
There's danger in the air. This is Sandra Tsinglo with the lowdown on science. Scientists are on the hunt for invisible plastics that we're breathing, but they're hard to see, even with our best technology. Michael Tawadros and team at the University of Toronto are on the case. They borrowed detective tools from other fields to sleuth out the airborne nanoplastics. Their improved method identifies the plastic's unique molecular fingerprints, called markers. Looking at a control sample of nanoplastics, the markers, called polyethylene terephthalate monomers, made up 10% of the sample. Now researchers can see them in real time. With this new way to investigate, nanoplastics have nowhere to hide. The jig is up.
The Lowdown on Science is a production of LAist 89.3.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. right here in Studio 2K. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Poetry Out Loud is a national arts education program where high school students memorize and perform published poems in a staged competition. The program is run in partnership with the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation and has involved millions of students since 2005. And the statewide competition finals are this Monday, March 9th, downstairs here at KTOO at 5 p.m. I have the honor of hosting again this year, so I'm really looking forward to that. And Juno will have not one, but two finalists competing this year, and they are joining me now in the studio along with Angela Noon as well. But I have students. We have Casey Lumba.
Cassie.
Yes. See, I got your last name right this time, but then I messed up the first part. So Cassie, what did I just say?
Casey.
Oh, it's Casey. Okay, that happens. Cassie. Okay, Cassie Lumba.
Yes.
And then I also have Lumi Furman.
Yes.
Okay, gonna cheese for you all being here. And Angela, welcome in as well. Wasiti, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. So you, Angela, this we had a regional competition here. Just tell me a little bit about how Poetry Out Loud works before we talk to the young lady.
Sure. Yeah. We this was something that was done at Thunder Mountain, and we brought it over to JD with the consolidation. So last year was our first kind of big venture at JD. This year we did it again. So the English teachers get together, and we do poetry units in our English classes. And students, we use the Poetry Out Loud website. They've got great materials, lists of poems, and students usually do a classroom recitation. Students then can compete in our school-wide competition, which counts as a regional competition. This year we had almost 50 students compete in the auditorium in front of their peers. We welcome all classes in to watch and the public. And it was very competitive. And this year we had Cassie and Lumi tied for first place, which I went through the rules and I was trying to split that tie. And they every suggestion of how to break a tie, they had tied again on it. So it was nice that they allowed us to have two participants in the state competition.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Are you all, Cassie and Lumi, are you competitive? Did you want to have a singular win, or were you happy that you were able to drag one or the other along to the competition?
Do you want to go first or me?
I think, personally, I was just happy to be doing it again. I was just, like, trying to go for it. And when we got the news, Cassie and I remember I was like in the commons of the school and I said, Cassie, we go as one or we go as none.
I see. That's so cool. Because you're judged on a variety of categories. We won't go into that now. But like basically you can tune in on Monday at 5 p.m. and you can see this this competition and explain all the rules. But you're some of the categories I know is like your memorization skills, your performance skill, right? Your understanding of the material that you're speaking, and things like that, right? So when you work on this, you're working on it through like the fall semester, basically. Is that right?
Or they actually had a very short time frame.
Okay.
Poetry Out Loud, we came back, I think, after the first week in January from our winter break.
Okay.
And our competition was January 29th.
Oh, wow. So it was quick.
They did a very quick turnaround. That's I think next year we're looking at starting the kids earlier, but that 2-week holiday break kind of, you know, throws,
it messes
with the schedule a little bit. So I think you guys, when you started, how long did it take you to get your poems done?
I took about a week. I think after having done it for these past 4 years, it has gotten way easier to memorize. I think initially everyone is it's sort of daunting to see like 15 or more lines and thinking, I have to get this down. I have to understand the poem, sort of express this sort of cadence. But I think after having done it for a while, it gets easier. So, yeah.
So you've been doing this. You did it each year. Are you a senior then?
Yes.
So you've done it every year.
Yes. And I did it for fun. I think it's a great program. And it's always, for me, enjoyable to go up on stage and share a piece of myself with the audience.
Have you learned a lot about poets and poetry by doing this competition?
Definitely. I think something I mentioned last year, actually, was that poetry is so nuanced, you know. I think maybe some people think of poetry as something singular, maybe emotional or raw, whereas it could be fun, it could be expressive, it could be sad, it could be exciting. And so that is sort of what I had in mind doing these competitions each year, was that I could choose a poem each year that maybe shared a different side of myself.
Interesting. And what are you hoping to do after you graduate?
I actually plan to go to school in Anchorage.
Okay.
Yeah, that's on my mind now. And then moving back here to Juneau and serving the community.
What are you going to study?
Dental hygiene.
Dental hygiene.
Yeah, so kind of like a different.
different than poetry, yeah. For sure. I was wondering, like, do you end up getting into English or studying, you know, English or literature in some way? Does it affect you? But it's also just nice to have that as a skill and a thing that you did, and then you'll have the appreciation of poetry for the rest of your life, which is, I think, part of the point of the whole program, Poetry Out Loud. And Lumi, for you, what year are you?
I'm a junior this year.
You're a junior, and you did the competition last year as well, right?
Yes.
Okay. And were either of you in the competition in the state one last year?
Lumi. Yes.
Okay. Right. Because you were a sophomore then, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I remember that. Yeah. So that's so great that you get to return. Do you have any tips for Cassie as to like what to expect on Monday?
I think we were just talking about this. We were talking about meeting everybody. The first hour is like usually nerve-wracking. And then by lunchtime, everybody's friends.
Right, yeah.
You're going out to get ice cream, walking the dog area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's not too scary.
Because you spend the day, because people come from all around the state, and maybe some of the kids who are coming haven't been to Juneau before. They haven't seen the state capitol. So I know that there's like a whole series of events that happen throughout the day, which may help with the nerves a little bit, because then you start thinking about other things and you're meeting these other kids and making friends maybe and all that kind of stuff. Do you know anybody that's coming back this year that you might have met last year?
There's not a single person that I known is coming back this year.
Oh, wow.
It's completely new, so it's going to be very interesting.
You're the veteran.
I'm feeling old now.
And what's your favorite thing that you've taken from the Poetry Out Loud competition?
My favorite thing I've learned from this competition is that like poetry doesn't just have to be rhyming and Shakespeare that you get. It can be anything. It can be music, too. It can be in rap. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, what's the word? You don't have to be, like, afraid to go and do it. Because, you know, it's just speaking and it's okay. And I think it really helps people speak up and learn that they can voice things they want to in so many different ways.
Okay, so let's talk about the poems, as my grandmother used to say, the poem isn't there like three rounds?
Yes.
So you have three poems that you have to do?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. So let's talk a little bit about your choices and how you came to these. Cassie, let's start with you.
Yeah, all of my poems are seemingly sort of solemn or sad in a way. I think I sort of resonate with that theme a lot. I think last year my poem was really sad.
Yeah, yeah. Your poems made me cry last year.
Yeah. So I guess I wanted to stick with that theme of like life and the emotions in life. But for each of my poems, I think they're very distinct in their tone and the way they sort of express that. So one of mine sort of explores feeling like this vivid imagery in nature and how that connects them to their own life, whereas one talks about the meaning of life, if there is even a point to it. So I wanted to stick to that theme of life's emotions, but explore that each in their own different way.
Okay, so what can give me the titles of these poems?
Yes, so my first one is Under the Harvest Moon by Carl Sandburg. Mm-hmm. My second one is Longings by Nellie Rathbone Bright. And my third one is Oh Me, Oh Life by Walt Whitman.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, it's so funny that you want to pick all these sad ones because you have such a cheery disposition.
I know. I get told that a lot, yes.
And then you're like, but I want to be sad. Let me be sad. And Lumi, what are you doing this year?
Well, this year I think I've also leaned more to the sad poems as well. I would say mine are kind of hopeful in a way, and they address things that are often overlooked or we don't like to talk about, really.
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. So what are they?
My first one is Thoughts in Jail by Catherine Rolston Fisher. My second one is An Apology by Julia Ward Howe, and I Shall Return by Claude McKay as my third.
Okay. Wow. These are really, this is really cool. That's really amazing. And Angela, when they are picking the poems, do the students pick the poems themselves of the categories that are available, right? The Poetry Out Loud website says, okay, these are the poems that are available.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It's up to the student. We want them to be able to have something that they, that resonates with them and that they connect with.
And then do they, once they go to the regional or to the state, once these two got selected for state, mm-hmm. then they get additional coaching, or how does that work?
Yeah, they, the national, right, the organization that does Poetry Out Loud hooks them up with a local coach, and you guys met with your coach already, mm-hmm, yes. right, that helps them kind of perfect your poems and work through some of the issues that they need to. Yeah.
Performance aspect.
Yep,
so performance aspect. Do you guys have the same coach?
Yes.
Who's your coach this year?
Nami. Yes.
Ah, Nami. Okay, yes. Great. Oh, she writes poetry,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's a perfect.
She was my first coach, too.
Oh, she was your coach last year as well.
First year doing it.
Okay. You started doing this when you were fresh. Well, I guess you did too.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you're just drawn to it and then you continue to do it. So it must not be boring is what I'm getting at. Yeah. It must be really fun, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to connect and make that. And I'm just curious. So Lumi, you're only a junior, but do you have an idea of what you might want to be doing as you go forward in life? And it's okay to say I have no clue.
It's a split between I don't know what I want to do and and also wanting to do medical field, but then business. It's everything, really.
A little bit of dreaming. You're still exploring, and that's the great age to do that, right? There's no reason to have an answer at the moment, right? Even when you first go to college, I don't even think you have to answer.
I think I switched majors three times.
Yeah, you can just get your gen eds out of the way while you're still exploring everything else. I think at one point I was a computer science major, and then I was like an econ major, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to do theater. Okay, I just know what I'm going to do. So that's that. So we have time. If we want, we could do like one poem each. It would be mm-hmm. really, really cool. Give people a taste of what you're all going to be doing on. Again, this is Poetry Out Loud. The competition's happening on Monday here downstairs at KTOO. It's a organization, or it's a program that's run in partnership with the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation. I think the Alaska State Council on the Arts is mm-hmm. ones that sort of put it together. So that'll be downstairs at 5 p.m. here at KTO. You're welcome to come to the audience, and I think you can also, you're going to be able to find it live on the webs this year at 5 p.m. So let's see, who wants to start? Who wants to go? Do we want to do rock, paper, scissors?
I'll go
first. Okay, Lumi's going to go. Lumi has volunteered. So which poem? Just do the whole thing for me, however you do it.
Okay. This is Thoughts in Jail by Catherine Rolston Fisher. Prisoners are we, American citizens imprisoned for daring in the name of democracy, to protest against the continued denial of the right of self-government to 20 millions of the American people. We lie in a dungeon, long ago abandoned and condemned, just as politically we are held, imprisoned in a subjection. Abandoned and condemned by every other nation of English speech and spirit. Painfully raising my head, I look down the long row of gray blanketed heaps. Under every heap, a woman, weak, sick, but determined. 20 gray fortresses of determination. Thank you.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. That's awesome. That's wonderful. Wow, that is pretty timely, right? That's a timely one. Okay, and Cassie, what do you got for us?
I will be reciting Longings by Nellie Rathbone Bright. I want to slay all the things, just things that they tell me I must do. I would drown them all in the tears I weep when each breathless day is through. I want to flee to a cool sand dune on a windswept beach where the humming tune of the wind and the waves and the heart of me drams in my ears and my lips are wet with the tang of the sea. I want to feel the rain on my cheek, the thrill that comes from a lark's long note. I want to see the sky at dawn through the lacy green of a willow tree. I want to look deep in a pool at night and see the stars flash flame like the fire in black opals. Thank you.
Wow, I love that. Yes, congratulations to you both for making it to the state competition. Again, it's Poetry Out Loud happening Monday at 5 p.m. You can find that on the live streams on KTOO. Casey Lumba, Lumi Furman, and wait, I did it wrong again. Cassie. Why do I see C-A-S-S-I-E and think that's Casey? That's not even the name. It's Cassie Lumba.
Substitute teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, really, right. I'm like a substitute teacher. Cassie Lumba, Lumi Furman, Angela Noon, thank you so much. Gunnith Cheech for being here. And break a leg on Monday.
Thank you.
Thank really you so much for having us.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Birds outside, eating trash off the street.
Supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher, and that is the new single by Taylor Dallas Vidic called Trash Birds from her upcoming album, Cat and Mouse, which is going to be coming out in early April. And the person who arranged that song, well, his day job is over at the Juno Arts and Humanity Council. It's Spencer Edgars. Hi, Gunnith Cheech.
Hello.
And we also have returning guest live in person this time, Nancy Karakand, who was here at the beginning of the year talking about art through meditation, was doing some classes. And now this show is opening on Friday. You know, even though I like to say that spring isn't here yet, First Friday rolls on.
Yes, indeed.
So tell us a little bit about what's opening on Friday, Spencer.
Well, we've got this lovely exhibit that Nancy has curated, and she's also an artist in the exhibit. And I'll let her tell you more in depth about it, but we've got an opening reception starting at 4:30 on Friday. And then, of course, as always, head on over to our website, jahc.org, where you can find a full list of all the First Friday happenings around town. And we hope that you start it with us and with this awesome exhibit. About meditation, simple loving kindness.
Yeah, simple loving kindness, art through meditation. And this, again, 4:30 on Friday. And this list of people that are involved, the artists that you're working with here, Nancy, just fantastic. So tell us a little bit. I know you were on the show in January, but tell us a little bit about simple loving kindness and art through meditation.
Art inspired by meditation.
Art inspired, okay.
Right. Okay. So it was a simple idea that I started with, which was if I
could gather a group of artists and start doing meditation sessions with them, that hopefully they would be inspired by the meditation to create beautiful art. And so we tried this idea in Astoria, and it worked beautifully. And so then I thought, why not Juneau? Because it's a wonderful arts community, and I lived here for 20 years. It's been 18 years since I lived here, but I lived here for 20 years, and I was very much a part of the arts community. So I didn't know. It was a big unknown. I didn't know how it would work or if it would work, but we ended up with a core group of, well, nine artists ended up attending at least one meditation session, and I would say there were about six who attended fairly regularly. So we started the beginning of, I think the end of November, we had our first session, and then we were meeting every other week since then, and our last one was 2 weeks ago. We're going to have one, hopefully we're going to have one at the Jack at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, so the artists can gather in the gallery with their work up on the walls, and we'll have one last meditation in person.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
And how did this idea come to you?
Well, I years ago, actually it started in Juneau. I was working at the Aware Shelter, and one of my coworkers handed me this book. It's called Healing into Life and Death by Stephen Levine, and it's a series of meditations for healing. So this was the first meditation in that book, and I was always so taken with it because the phrases are so beautiful. May I dwell in the heart. May my heart flower. May all beings be free of suffering. You know, so I just, for years, I just thought, I just love that. And then I had seen an exhibit, I think, in Seattle years ago, where it was an exhibit by trauma survivors, sexual trauma survivors. And I was really impressed with kind of the power of that, you know, using a concept, that concept of healing to create art, and then the space that it created when visitors came in. So I thought, wow, what if we use these beautiful phrases? And then that idea just kind of simmered for years. And then I kind of went into semi-retirement about 3 years ago. I was a career psychotherapist.
Okay.
And I'm still doing some counseling, very part-time. But so it kind of simmered for years. And then as I was going into retirement, I thought, I started talking to artist friends of mine. And I said, what do you think? And they were like, yeah, I would do it. And so people started coming to these meditations. And then I put in a proposal to our local arts nonprofit organization, which is Astoria Visual Arts. They accepted us. They gave us the month of March in 2025, so a year ago.
Wow.
It opened in Astoria. And then once that happened, I mean, it was so, the exhibit was so wonderful, and everybody had a great time. And it pulled us out of our kind of our angst about the world and what's happening. And I thought, wow, I want to try this somewhere else. And Juneau was like the natural choice. And so I put in a proposal to, I think I told you this last time, how like when you're doing a search online, so I was looking at the Jack and looking at the website and going, And the next day on my Facebook feed, there's this thing, have you ever wanted to have your own gallery show? and so I thought, okay, this is it. I'm going to do it. So I applied thinking, maybe I won't get it.
Love that.
But they accepted my proposal, so here we are. And so we have 14 participating Juneau artists, along with myself and my granddaughter, who's 15. She came up with me. So we have like 16 participating artists, and
that's fantastic.
I don't know how many pieces of work, 30-something pieces of work.
Oh, wow.
All arts mediums. And then the youngest participant is my granddaughter, 15, and the oldest is 93 years old.
Oh, wow.
And she's never, this 93-year-old has never shown her work before, and it's great work.
I love that. It's the opening of Simple Loving Kindness, Art Inspired by Meditation. It's this Friday at the Jack. 4:30 is the reception. It will be on display through March 28th.
Five o'clock is an artist talk. We're going to have a very brief, 20 to 30 minute talk at 5 o'clock.
Oh, excellent. That's so good. Well, really appreciate you being here. Gunnath Cheesh, we'll catch up on everything else going on at the Jack next time, Spencer, but you can always go to jahc.org for everything happening. Really appreciate you both being here.
Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for today's Juneau Afternoon. You can find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon. I'm Boston Christopher. Have a great night.